The second outcome in this section is entitled Motivate and Mobilize Others for the Mission of God. Your Bible reading, please read the references in your notes. This section was kindly written by J Life Africa. Today we'll do part one and next week part two. Motivating people to get involved in God's mission starts with an understanding of what the mission is. We cannot motivate people if we don't know exactly what it is we're trying to get people involved with. To be called a disciple of Jesus means being wholeheartedly committed to live more like Christ and to minister to others as He did. A clear grasp of what our mission is a critical first step to becoming all that God intended for us to be. What is God's mission for His people? Reading scripture from Genesis to Revelation reveals how God has been intimately involved with mankind and all of creation since the first person set foot on earth. This culminated with the Father sending His Son to earth to reveal His great plan for mankind. To have a clear understanding of what the Father's mission is for His people, we have to start with Jesus. The entire Old Testament looks forward to Jesus, Luke 24:44, and everything after His resurrection is interpreted through the life and works of Jesus, see Colossians 1:15-20. Not only is Jesus the means of our salvation, but He's also the model by which we are to live. He clearly lived out the Father's will and set the example for us to follow. Jesus' life and ministry can be summed up with two phrases, Great Commandment and Great Commission Living. In Mark 12:29-31, Jesus gives this response to a scribe's question about what the greatest commandment was. The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus' mission was rooted in the great commandment, love for God, love for people. It is important to have this as the foundation before discussing the mission of God. Our desire to fulfill God's mission must have its starting point in our love for God and our love for others. This needs to be what compels us to do the work of God, of the Father. When we grow tired and weary, despondent and frustrated, it is our passion for God and people which will help us remain faithful to the mission. When we love God, we will naturally do all that He wants us to do. When we love people, we will act in their best interest. In Christ's life and ministry, we see a loving person from start to finish. Jesus lived this out. He was a model of what true love should look like. Jesus commanded us to love as He loved, John 3:34. If love for God and for others is not our driving passion and all-consuming motive, it will be impossible for us to produce Christ followers the way Jesus did. Jesus lived out the great commandment, loving God and loving people. His great commandment, values, resulted in great commission living. Without a great commandment heart, we will never see a great commission passion fully realized. It is our great commandment heart that maintains our great commission passion and fruitfulness. The two cannot be separated. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus gives His disciples a clear description of what their mission was to be. These verses take place after Jesus' death and resurrection, right before His ascension. The mission Jesus gives His disciples is exactly what He had spent the past 3.5 years doing. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The verses above make it clear that we have one mission, and that is to make disciples. At the end of Jesus' earthly life and ministry, he presents this challenge to his disciples out of the context of having spent time discipling them. He now commands them to make disciples. Fulfilling the command, "make disciples," begins with being a disciple and results in making disciples. The phrase discipleship has often been restricted to refer to courses for new believers, when in fact it refers to the entire ongoing pathway of an individual's journey from unbelief to maturity. The mission of every follower of Jesus is to make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. This is when we know we have made a disciple, as Jesus made disciples. When Jesus commissioned us to make disciples of all nations, he understood that disciple-making was a journey of turning self-serving people into fully devoted followers. Every step of that journey is supernatural. God moves people from spiritual immaturity to maturity. As we conclude part one, what do you think are some of the different commitment levels people go through on the pathway from unbelief to maturity?